You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here.
We are gathered here as advisors, as scientists.
The kind of place you expect a ghost to like to wander around.
Hey, we all know that we're going down, baby.
I'll help you. I'm something of a witch.
Welcome to Mission Spooky. I'm your fantastic host. And with me today, as per usual, is the queen of everything herself, Kiki, and the cryptid expert, Cord, and we got a special guest up in here, Ben from Kiki. Introduce him.
Insert podcast here. Gosh, wow. Ben is the DM over at Lost Legends Tales of Thurn, who I listened to today because we had a new one out, and OMG, I laughed so damn hard. I listened to it twice. I'm not even kidding. There was an argument about whether Limp Bizkit was better than Beastie Boys, and then Sterling went off about coffee in game, and oh my god, I laughed so hard. It was great. I loved it. Anyway, Ben, what's up?
Hey, not a lot. So I'm not a huge fan of Beastie Boys or Limp Bizkit.
As I now know.
Yeah, because I have no opinion on it. They're just like getting super heated, and it's like, guys, it's fine. Apparently it wasn't fine. I don't know.
It was so funny.
So let me just say, I feel like I'm predisposed towards Beastie Boys. Mm-hmm. Even so, and the only reason for that is because when I was a kid, my brother listened to Limp Bizkit. And so the one time he got me a CD, and it was like Limp Bizkit. I'm thinking of Alien Ant Farm. Disregard. Mm-hmm. It was okay. That one. It was like Anthology, and the only good song on there was Smooth Criminal.
Hey.
Which isn't even their song.
Hey now. You're I love that whole CD, goddammit. I love
so
every
bad.
Song on that CD.
It was so bad. Oh my god.
So I remember when I was a kid and the very first Beastie Boys album came out. Yeah.
In my day, we didn't even have a Beastie Boy.
Back then, they was just Beastie Fetuses.
they were. Yeah.
Get it? Because Kiki's old.
Actually, I think those guys are just slightly older than me, because I think they were like 16 when they started out, if you can believe that shit. And then, well, actually, if you want to believe what Logan said, because that's he said on the podcast. I didn't look it up. I just assumed he was correct.
Wait, so how old are you, Kiki?
Numbers actually don't go that high, so it's hard for her to give an answer.
Just a sideways 8.
I have to, yeah. Thank you. I have to write it in cuneiform.
Exactly.
The numbers of my people. Okay, you know, hey, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm Gen X. It's good. I will be 50 this year.
Get out of town.
Get right into town. Yes, I will be 50 years old.
You do not seem like a 50-year-old person.
Thank
Holy
you.
Crap.
Right?
I was going to guess like 35. Like 30,
Thank
35.
Thank you. Yeah, I get that a lot. I think also someone pointed out on TikTok that us Gen X women are not aging. It's because we have no emotion whatsoever. Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, that whole like not feeling emotion so you don't age, I feel like that's the opposite for millennials. Where it's just like the economy sucks and the planet's dying and everything sucks and everything's a sequel or a superhero movie. And it's like the gray hairs, you can just feel them coming in, you know?
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break for a promo from one of our other podcast pals. And when we get back, the legend of the cryptid La Lechuza.
Hey, sorry to interrupt your favorite podcast, but I'm here to tell you about Shrimp and Crits, an actual play podcast with a southern twist. My name is Ian, and I am the keeper for this show as we play Monster of the Week by Michael Sands. If you like the sound of swampy monster mayhem, gators gone shopping, and magical fairy mischief, you'll be right at home in the remote panhandle town of Gullicochica, Florida, where spooky danger has begun to wash ashore. Shrimp and Crits is the story of Sarah Payne the Mundane.
All I'm asking for is answers. That's all I'm looking for, is the truth.
Ari Green the Searcher.
You know the proclamations of the Fae. I suggest you follow them from now on.
And Ray Ray, the most mundane monstrous you will ever meet.
Mr. Zeus, I'm a big fan. I knew you were real. And Ray Ray's just like bowing in front of this swan.
As they fumble their way through protecting their skeptical town from mysterious evils. We release new episodes every other Monday on the podcatcher of your choice. Hope to see you soon in sunny Gullicochica.
Hey, we're talking about Lollachuza today.
Fun times.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm so down for this monster. I simp for Lollachuza.
And that's really good, because we're going to let you do most of the talking. This is your thing, man. And this will be on before we actually do our Chord versus Cryptid episode, in which Ben will be our guest DM / GM, whichever you prefer to say. And yeah, you were like super prepared for that fight, because you became the expert on Lollachuza amongst the three of us, because I know a little.
So Lollachuza is, in a word, well, two words, three words, really fucking awesome. So this monster hails from northern Mexico, southern United States, kind of that border. So Lechuza apparently means owl in Spanish. It's fitting because she's like this owl creature. So I was reading a ton of stuff about Lollachuza and listening to some videos and all that. And one thing that was funny that I came across is that if you go to YouTube and type in like Lollachuza, the first three options are for five-year-olds, where it's like a little Spanish song about like an owl or something. And yes. Then the fourth option is like this hideous, grotesque monster.
Yes.
Yeah.
which is just great, you know, because it's like complete polar opposite, straight from one end to the other. So this monster, as far as how it's created, which I always geek out on, like kind of the lore behind it. So Lollachuza is a former witch. Lollachuza is created when a good witch is killed unjustly, and then her purpose is to take revenge on the town or the community that killed her unfairly.
I like that part of it, actually.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that I had read, was about if she's trying to do good and then somebody messes that up and murders her, then, you know.
It's like you get what you get, you know?
Yep.
I like that, too. And in fact, I was thinking back on it. So one parallel that I think is kind of cool is the harpies in Greek mythology, how they're kind of bird-like and they have feathers, and like the harpy just doesn't go after anybody. Basically, it's like the god's divine retribution, where like if you kill a parent, it might be your mother, but if you kill, I think it's one of your parents, either one, then the gods are like, oh, you done messed up. And then they send the harpies after you to drive you insane as a punishment. And I feel like Lollachuza is kind of in that same vein, where it's like in her natural state, she's not going to hurt anybody. But like once people mess up, then she's all claws, no talk kind of thing. Claw first, ask questions later.
Yes.
There's all kinds of stuff like about the Lechuza here that's really kind of cool. As far as how to repel her, like salt, kind of like Supernatural, you know, salt keeps the bad thingies away. Also, so and I was looking for a way to summon her, so I kind of did a reversal on this part. You'll hear in the next episode here with Cord. But like pretty much one way to keep her away is just to swear at her. So like if you see this giant owl monster land in your yard and like start to stalk up to you, claws drawn and stuff, you just call her like a motherfucker, and then she's like, oh, and then flies away. It's like problem solved.
I love that.
Words hurt, man.
She's like, no, I don't like you anymore.
Like my feelings.
Exactly. Yes.
Finally, a cryptid I might stand a chance against.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, also chili powder. Apparently she doesn't like chili powder either.
What?
Yeah, so like Lollachuza's getting all up in your grill. You literally just throw chili powder at her and say, fuck you, and then she leaves.
Oh, thank fuck, because I carry chili powder pretty much with me all the time.
Like yeah. A psycho.
I think those are the components to make me stay.
Yeah, right?
Throw spicy food at me and say, fuck you. Oh, okay, I'll stick around.
God, like, you got yes. It, senpai. But yeah, just like I just love how like among other things, I just love how quirky and interesting and weird this creature can get. Just the whole lore I feel like is real grab bag of like really odd things. And you gotta wonder, the people that made this mythology, like, was someone attacked by an owl and they just threw chili powder at it and it flew away and they're like, oh, gotta jot that down quick. It's like, how do you test these things, you know? Another kind of variant of the myth is that if you tie her down, like so that's this witch, yes, basically undead witch, you know, that can turn into an owl, but that takes up quite a bit of her power. So like if you tie her down, eventually she's gonna tire herself out and turn back into a witch, in which case you can then use the you know, it's like a bullet with a cross carved into the bullet, you know, into the tip, yes, of it.
I read that.
And yeah, but the rope, though, the rope has to have 7 knots tied in it.
Lucky number 7.
Who tried this, you know? With someone like they just did like 1 knot and then she escapes and they're like, ah, damn. And then 2 knots, like, and then 7 is when it works. And they're like, whoa, okay, we got it.
There's always that one person. There's always that one person who survived.
That's true.
They tie an 8th knot for good measure and she wiggles out like, ah, shit.
8 is right out.
Yeah, Lelouch is just really a really neat monster. I feel like Dracula's kind of played out. You know, zombies at this point are kind of played out. I would kill to see a movie where they fight Lelouch. Like, I'd pay good money for that because it's just such like an unknown, interesting thing. And I feel like if you're not in that area, like right on the border, you probably never heard of it. Like when you asked me to come on and do the cord fight and stuff, I was like, what the hell is Lelouch? And then I go reading into it and it's like, holy crap, this thing's actually, I need to put this in my D&D game now.
Well, now you can, because there's a stat block for it.
Do they great have segue. Chili powder in D&D?
Oh, we'll totally have chili powder.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I didn't, you know, I didn't add that in as a weakness. Interesting.
See, and granted, I've never seen Lelouch, but I feel like, because, you know, if she doesn't like chili powder, but if you eat enough chili, eventually that kind of gets in your system. Like if you eat too much garlic and then you go up to a vampire, I feel like eating chili would give you a natural immunity.
I mean, yeah, sure.
He's like, I'm in.
It's like one more reason to eat chili.
Yeah, so technically she should have never fought me in the first place. Cause
there you go. You're just too hot and spicy.
Oozing out of your pores.
Hey, don't put me up against a vampire in Gord vs. Cryptid. They will not want to eat me at all.
I recently read an interesting theory that the garlic myth was actually started by vampires because they actually enjoy how we taste. So it's like, oh, yeah.
They're trying to season us.
Don't eat lots of garlic, guys. Oh, we hate that. And that, you know, medieval times, people who were writing this shit down were like, oh, well, vampires say they hate it, so they gotta hate it. And the vampires were just sarcastic as fuck.
That's hilarious. I really like that kind of headcanon, you know? Mm-hmm. Where I like the vampires are like, no, also don't cover yourself in butter.
Oh, that would just be the worst thing you could do. Oh, no.
So guys, we do have a challenge now though, because apparently there is a movie. It's called Curse of the Lelouch, and it was made in 2009. So We might have to review that bitch.
Tell me it's on Netflix.
I wish it was. It looks like it's on the IMDb Pro thing. I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know how the hell we can get a hold of this movie, but apparently it exists.
One thing I just, as a monster, really appreciate about Lelouch is the fact that she's not just a mindless monster. I always like monsters that have a reason for being why they are. I can really respect the idea that this is a result of people's actions, as opposed to just being like, oh, I'm evil, and I bite people.
Right. Or even, I don't know, I don't want to disparage Bigfoot, but if Bigfoot's out there, we're not really sure why. Like, he's just out there being Bigfoot.
I was reading too, apparently maybe like 6 or 7 years ago, down near the border, it was like a group of people. I don't think it was the whole community, but like these people had an owl tied up and were like questioning it, and then they lit it on fire because they were all convinced that it was Lelouch. It was like 2015 or something.
Ouch.
Yeah, so like a whole bunch of animal rights people are like, what are you doing? And they're like, killing Lelouch.
No. That, okay, now we've gone too far.
Right. It's just like, man, they're taking this shit seriously.
Bring it back in a little bit, guys. Come on.
Right?
Not every owl you see is one of them.
You don't know that, though. Yeah, you don't know that, though.
Yeah. Owlgate 2021.
Yes. I always think these things are interesting, too. Like, when you're doing your research and you find out, like, oh, NPR has done a whole thing on on Lollapalooza, you know, like NPR. That's crazy. But I mean, in a good way, it's cool.
Yeah, it's just really neat that, like, I don't know, some of these are like a little more mainstream and some of them aren't. And it's, you know, hopefully stuff like this can kind of bring those into the mainstream. Kind of like with Logan with the Van Meter Visitor. Like, I'd never even heard of that until he told me about it. And it's like, I live in Iowa. How have I not heard of this?
Right. Right. And yeah, I always thought this was, well, I decided to add her in because she's technically, as far as I could read, is mostly Mexican based. However, because of that border with Texas, there's the Tejano crossover. So she kind of slides into U.S. cryptids as well because of that, because the culture and the people moving have brought the legend with them, which I think is kind of cool too. So yeah, so I definitely was like, nope, she belongs with us too. Like, she could be here. Why not? You know?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. The people are here. The culture is here. So she deserves to be here.
Yeah. I'd say this one seems like it could, I mean, if we're going to assume that there's supernatural things in the world, and this seems like there's a lot of lore behind it, and that it could definitely be something that is real.
This would be a cool one. You know, if this one was like legitimately real, I'd be on board for that. Like, how many times in your life do you get to scream at a giant owl monster? That, like, what an experience, though, you know? It's like a bucket list type thing.
I now want to see your bucket list, Ben. Throw pepper and yell motherfucker at this lady. Okay. Got it. I do have a screech owl that's out here, which is really funny, though, now that we're talking about all this stuff. And I'm like, well, I yell at that guy pretty much every night. Shut the hell up. He doesn't listen, though.
Dude, for real, though. Some of those are such, like, they're just such a pain in the ass, you know? And it's like, you almost need a pellet gun. You know, animal rights activist, sorry. No. You almost need a pellet gun just to take care of it. Like, when I was in college, so I went to college up in Clinton, Iowa, on the river, at this place called Ashford. And so my sophomore and junior year, I was an RA. And then senior year, I was, like, in charge of one of the dorm buildings. It wasn't quite a hall coordinator, but it was a whole thing. So anyway, my sophomore year, the dorm building I was in was right next to the hill. And there's, like, this big kind of forest that leads up to the hill. The one night, a bunch of my guys came down, they're, like, knocking on my door. And they're like, Ben, well, you know, we heard something. And I'm like, what? And so we go down to the end of the hallway, and it sounds like this girl is screaming bloody murder, like someone's attacking her. And so the whole group of us go out, and we're, like, freaking out, trying to find out what's happening. And eventually it stops, you know, and we're like, oh, okay, whatever, call security kind of thing. And the next morning it started again, and so we all woke up, and we're like, what the hell is this? And so we all went outside and found out, like, the forest was maybe 15 feet away. It was like a little road that separated, like, the forest area from that end of the dorm building. And found out it was one of those screeching birds that was it sounded like someone getting murdered. And it's like, holy shit, someone killed this bird.
You want to talk about screaming things, too? I always tell people, and this actually fits in well with paranormal stuff in general, is, like, I always say, know your surroundings, know your animals, because a fox screaming sounds like a freaking child or woman getting murdered.
Yeah, JC.
We were in a spooky graveyard.
And then the second started. I heard the noise, I went, I think I know what that is. And you're like, what was that?
Yeah. Dude, have you ever been outside when a large owl or a hawk flies over you and the shadow feels like it's five times as big as what the bird actually is?
Yes.
That is scary. And I often think about, too, like, not to debunk everything, but, you know, I think about people being outside, and especially at night when owls hunting and this thing just, like, flies down at you. And I had a turkey vulture swoop in one time over my head, and I would have thought it was a damn pterodactyl. Like, it felt that much bigger than me. But then it landed, and I'm like, oh, you're pretty damn big, and I'm going to step away now, but so you're not a you're not a pterodon, you know, like, or a pteranodon.
Those birds are in no way small.
No.
I got to Google turkey vulture now. It's like combination of two awesome things.
Yeah, they are.
Do they have like a 6 or 8 foot wingspan max? It's like huge. The big ass bird.
Holy crap. Yeah. This thing's huge.
Yeah. They're enormous.
Okay, that's getting added to the D&D campaign now, too.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to help you out with a stat block for that bitch, because those guys live in my neck of the woods, and they're like, yeah, they're all, I love them, though. They're great.
And I bet they're delicious.
I don't know about that.
It's like, I bet they're delicious. Well, it's funny because people, even my husband, oh my God, you can't get near the turkey. You can't get near those vultures. I'm like, they're vultures. They actually don't give a shit about you at all. They only eat dead things. Some of them were down at the lake, and there was some fish that were, I know, probably a fisherman caught them, either forgot them, left them behind, whatever. And there's like four or five of them, and they're all standing on the ground, and they're enormous anyway when they're standing. And I'm 4'11", so I feel like everything's big. So I'm just like, oh my God, the vultures are so pretty. And Doug's like, get the fuck away from those things, they'll kill you. I'm like, I'm not dead. They don't care about me. They're eating the fish. Trust me, everything's fine. So yeah, they get a bad rap, but honestly, people listening, they're cool. They're cool. Now in D&D, if you want them to fuck up your world, I can make that happen.
Oh, for sure. Now, we were just talking before recording about like D&D and stats and stuff, and sometimes it's like you don't even roll for the monsters. I feel like this could be one of those things where it's like, depending on how you roll it or don't roll it, this could be like a nuisance or an absolute menace, where they're just like, why won't this thing die?
With its 17,000 hit points.
Well, right, because you always have that one player that's like keeping track of the hit points just out of curiosity, or maybe they're, you know, just like the numbers or whatever. And I've had it happen before where like a player goes to call me on it and they're like, wait, does this thing have 210 hit points? And I'm like, oh, this one does.
Yeah, it's a very hardy bird.
Exactly. He eats his Wheaties.
Now, I think in some places they're actually illegal to shoot, just FYI. Not that I'm thinking anybody's going to go shoot them, but I think they fall under endangered in some areas. So.
All right, so here's the plan. We capture one, we drive it to a place where it's not considered endangered, and then cap it. Dinner.
Oh, wow, Ben, God, you are so ruthless.
I say he offers a valid way loophole. That seems legit to me. I'm not a lawyer, but seems legit.
I mean, is it kidnapping if it's a wild animal? You know, I think you'd be fine.
I think at that point it's called what's the term, poaching.
Yeah, okay, so here's the lowdown. So because we don't want to, you know, tell anyone the wrong thing and get them in a lot of trouble, turkey vultures and black vultures are federally protected by the Migratory Bird Treaty Act under U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they are completely illegal to shoot in Pennsylvania as well.
So if they're illegal to shoot, what if I make fun of one so bad it kills itself? Is that legal?
Totally. You just give it a lot of change the treatment. Just be like, hey, turkey vulture, fuck you, and throw chili powder in its eyes like pocket sand.
Oh man, this is a fun episode. This has gone like off the rails and I love it. It's like, yeah. What are we even talking about today? I don't know.
I'm waiting to make some comments about La Lechuza until you get back on track.
Like, oh no, it's fine. Okay. You're on track. What are you talking about? This is a free for all.
I guess
today.
We're doing an episode on birds today.
Hey, we are talking about
birds in general.
Lechuza is a bird. She's an owl lady. It fits the bill. Yes. Okay. Maybe she should be protected. Hey, we could talk about cryptids being protected by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, because, hey, I think they should be. And I think that if Lechuza is real, then she should be protected. Dang it.
Yeah, and the bird is the word after all.
Everybody's heard.
I didn't know I was still in middle school. Yeah. God damn. Old reference. Wow. Fucking going way back.
First of all, what I think is hysterical is that when I was in middle school, that song was still a thing.
When you were in middle school, they didn't have birds.
They just had dinosaurs.
Yeah, the robot bird drones from the government weren't invented until 1995. You know that. There weren't any real birds until then.
Freaking Clinton.
Right.
She's part of the government conspiracy.
2020 was just a year that all the batteries in the birds died, so the government had to run around quick and like trap you all indoors so that they could go change the batteries and all the bird drones. You know this. We all know this.
Yeah, it's factual.
It's on TikTok. It's real.
I read a conspiracy theory that, you know, the president before 1995, instead of pardoning a turkey on Thanksgiving, he'd pardon a pit bull. True story. acts.
Oh boy.
So yeah, the thing that I wanted to say is one of the descriptions that I heard of Lollapalooza made me think of something completely strange. One of the descriptions that she has is when she transforms, she turns into a giant bird with essentially an old lady head instead of a bird head. And the first thing that I thought of was a Miyazaki movie.
I've heard of Miyazaki, but I've never seen a Miyazaki movie.
Me neither.
Wow.
Oh my God. Right over my head.
That's sad. They're wonderful.
Just be quiet.
Oh my God. And I have no idea how this, like, the kind of the step-by-step of this, but, like, with owls being seen as, like, oh, this is an evil thing. This is associated with witches. But then, like, back in ancient Greece, like, the owl was the symbol for Athena, who's, like, female goddess mm-hmm. of war and wisdom and stuff. And it's, like, yep. I don't know. It's kind of neat how, like, different cultures and stuff view the same animal differently. Like, it'd be neat to have, like, sit like an Irish person from back in the day and, like, a Greek down from the back of the day and just watch them bitch at each other about whether owls are cool or not.
I feel like, though, a big, like, thing with that is the owls that they grew up with in those areas. Because I feel like possibly more northern owls are much larger and threatening beings than Mediterranean owls. I have zero facts to back this up, just so we know and we're all on the same page. I just feel like if I see something with an 8-foot wingspan, I'm going to be like, fuck that thing, that's spooky. Whereas if I just see a little cute fucking owl, yeah, no, that thing's wise. So I feel like depending on what type of owls were located in the area, that would be why.
That's a good point. Yeah, it could totally depend on whether they're giant or like a Pokemon, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I recently watched the Blood of Zeus animated thing on Netflix, which was okay. But the owl in there that's for Athena, it's like small and adorable. It's not like an 8-foot monstrosity that rips away wolves and sheep and stuff and eats their prey head first.
I think you're puffing up northern owls a little bit too much. I don't think they're thunderbirds in the night.
Owls have 8-foot wingspans and they kill their prey by biting their heads off. Those are facts.
I don't think those are facts at all.
I'm going to prove this.
And then they poop out little pellets full of bones.
The bones. Really, yeah, cool. They poop out. Well, they throw up bones. It's not really...
Oh, well, yeah. Did I say poop out?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they throw up bones. Yeah, sorry. I meant throw up. I didn't...
What a flex, though. You know, the owl comes up to the other animals and the animal kingdom's like, "Wah!" It's like the bones of this, like the beagle they just ate. All the other animals are like, holy shit, new king of the jungle right here.
All right, so the blackest fish owl, which is the world's largest known owl, has a 6-foot wingspan. Okay, so I was wrong.
So not even close.
Yeah, not even close to an 8-foot wingspan. Correct. But still, 6 foot's pretty scary. I mean, that's its wingspan is taller, wider than I am tall, whatever.
They could totally still pick out like a Yorkie, you know? Like, that's not like 6-foot wingspan's nothing to shake a stick at.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a turkey vulture. That's big.
Yeah.
And did you know that owls and crows have an ongoing war with each other?
Crows will win.
Well, so one on one, the owl will win. One on three, the owl will probably win. But crows travel and fucking murders. So, yeah, but owls will eat crow babies. Crows have a long memory. So whenever they see an owl, they fuck its day up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, also, yeah. Was that pun intended? Because, like, a murder is, like, a group of crows?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, solid. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, one of the more common owls is the barn owl, and he's found everywhere, including Greece. And you're talking something a lot smaller, where the prey is mice and squirrels and chipmunks and things like that. So I kind of like to think that Athena's owl is based off of the Greek version of like a barn owl.
So speaking of barn owls, have you guys ever seen a horror movie called The Fourth Kind?
Yes.
I love that movie. It's so good. Yeah. Also movie. 2009. And
wow.
Yeah, I just love like the imagery with the barn owl where it, like, they see it and then it's like boom, they're eating breakfast the next day with no memory because they got abducted.
I love that movie to death.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. Don't make any plans after you see it though, because it's one that kind of messes with your head a bit and it's like it almost leaves you comatose at the end.
Yeah, you kind of feel weird after it. It gives you a weird feeling.
When I was an RA, you had to do like 3 or 4 floor socials every month, you know, with your residents and stuff. So the one year, it was my sophomore year, for Halloween, we did a horror movie double feature. And so we saw one. It was called I Spit on Your Grave.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. Yeah. I mean, not for the character, but just a good movie. Good revenge movie. And then we saw The Fourth Kind, and it was so funny because after the first one, they were like, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, you know, she killed the guy. He's in a bathtub full of lie. That was great, you know, and like super pumped up and stuff. And then we watched The Fourth Kind, and like as soon as it cuts to credits, like everyone just quietly got up and went back to the room, and they're like, thanks for the movie, Ben.
I totally understand that, too. That's yeah. Crazy.
It's like, you're welcome for the trauma, guys. See ya.
So we're gonna wrap this up.
Are we? I'm having a blast.
Okay. I mean we still have to do the outro, so
do we?
And the musical guest, which, but by the way, we? I am so excited about this musical guest. I'm sorry, I have it all ready to go. I'm super psyched.
Okay.
I was just going to say, but before we do the outro and stuff, this has been really enjoyable chatting with you guys. You guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you. We love you, too.
Yeah.
You guys are great. I mean, your podcast is, like, fucking phenomenal.
I've now had 2 of you attempt to kill me.
No spoilers, but when Ben used one particular spell on you, I thought for sure that was going to be, like, the end.
I'm the best.
Around.
He did make me sad in my insides, though. But watch that episode, find out why.
We're like, we love you.
Oh. Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun. I can't wait for the next one. Oh my god, so it's gonna be a blasty blast. I'm gonna introduce our musical guest for today, which I found these guys by accident. And thank goodness I did, because this song couldn't be more perfect for what we're talking about. See, La Lechuza, The Wronged Witch. And today we have the Kentucky Vampires with their song, Daughter of the Morning Star. If you love old school goth like I do, we're talking like 80s The Cure, freaking listen to this song. Well, you're going to listen to it right now anyway, but go listen to the whole album because they're amazing. And we're going to be playing some more songs for them too. This is actually off of an older album. It's just called The Kentucky Vampires, I believe, and that one came out in 2018. They have a new album out. It's available on Spotify, so we're going to play some music from them. Also, I just want to mention that the next 2 groups that we have, oh my god, first of all, the goth community in general is amazing. Yeah, you guys are going to freak out over some of these songs that I'm going to be able to play in the next few weeks. Anyway, on that note, Daughter of the Morning Star, and when we get back, we'll do Spooky Squad news and shout-outs, and we'll talk a little bit about Ben, too, like what he's got going on.
Sing that song in vain. Curses of the morning star.
Welcome back, you beautiful sons of witches and butts. Is that what I'm supposed to say? I always forget.
Welcome back, guys.
Oh, by the way, I was looking up more stuff about owls just to prove that I'm right, that owls are insane. And so, whatever, I proved it to myself. Owls are one of the most dangerous birds. I'm not going to go about that for you guys. But somebody was interviewing the executive director of the International Owl Center in Houston. And do you want to know what question they asked? Why are owls so spooky?
Yo!
Why are owls so spooky?
That's a great question. Why are owls so spooky?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Looks like we have a bonus episode to record, oh, boys God. And girls.
Here we go. We have so many already. So many.
No, we don't.
I figured they would have asked who.
Yes.
Who?
Who? Thank you, Ben.
Our owls.
You fucking got me.
Thank you, Ben.
I think it's appropriate that I also made a Mr. Owl joke at work yesterday. When counting, I went 1, 2, 3.
Nice.
And my boss just went, really? Because...
Excuse me, sir. I'm trying to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Pop.
Sorry, Tootsie Pop.
It's very easy to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll.
Shut up. Shut up. I'm tired and I have a headache.
You don't even really lick Tootsie Rolls, damn it.
I mean, maybe you don't.
Put them on a stick, lick them. Done.
If that's how you want to do it.
I'm not here to kink shame.
If you like this content, you should head over to Patreon, where I've got a bunch of booper reels, and all you have to pay is one single buck.
And then you get to hear all the stupid shit we say.
Mostly JC, because Cord wasn't here for a long time, so...
And let's face some facts, I say a lot of stupid shit.
It's true.
Hold on, what was I not here for?
Oh, remember when I invited you to the podcast?
The first year of you doing a podcast.
Yeah.
The first year of you doing a podcast where I totally said, yeah, I got plenty of free time since I'm injured right now. I could definitely just record like every single day because I'm not working or wrestling. And you're like, yeah, we'll get back to you on that. And then I sat there and had the time to fully recover from my injury before you invited me on for a guest special episode. Yeah, I remember that part pretty good.
You went from guest to co-host pretty quick. So, you know.
In two kidding. Episodes.
Yeah.
I'm great with communication.
At the $3 level on Patreon, you'll be able to get all of our art cards from our artist, Chris Stone, who's doing all of the cryptid artwork for us, and then the stat blocks that I've created as well. We also have stickers at the $1 level, which I completely forgot about, and then the $5 level is on our Discord server. Once a month, we will do a Q&A, but we might be changing that slightly. We still want to do the Q&A, but we might be trying a different program for that. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram.
Whoa, you didn't say what happens when they go to the $100 level. I send you sexy pictures.
No, I thought Whoa. We agreed that that's what the OnlyFans was for.
Yeah, Whoa. I get those two. Okay, are we doing OnlyFans?
Are we doing a Mission Spooky OnlyFans? Is that what you just said?
Mission Spooky does have an OnlyFans, yeah.
Oh, man. Are we going to take like ghost boudoir pics or whatever they're called?
You guys are supposed to be doing naked ghost tracking.
What?
We're yeah.
I never agreed to this. I will go down to lingerie. I will do lingerie ghost hunting.
Lingerie ghost. Well, damn, son, that's way better than I thought. No, you guys were actually supposed to be like taking photographs of yourselves ghost tracking, but wearing a sheet, and then the audience needs to guess, are you naked or not? That was
yeah, okay. I remember that. Okay.
Yeah, I remember now. Yeah. Yeah. You have a lot of work to do, you guys. Have a lot of work to do.
Well, yeah, I have other things that I need to do too.
The thing is, Cord has off on the weekends and I don't.
No, wrong. I have off Saturday.
Yeah,
I don't have weekends anymore. Right,
so anyway, this sounds a lot like an argument that I listened to this morning. Moving on. That's very similar.
I'm just like chilling over here on summer break.
I know Ben's like, I can record every day and any day.
Mm-hmm. Boudoir picks 25-8.
5-8. Don't bring that energy anywhere near me with your summer break bullshit.
He's living the hot boy summer.
Come indeed.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. One better. The hot history teacher summer.
There we got it.
Hell yeah.
Boom shakalaka.
Ooh. Hell ooh. Yeah.
Just thinking about it got me a little hard.
Revolutionary War reenactments.
Heck yeah.
Men dressed up in uniform. Hell yeah.
It'll call me smooth bore Benji for nothing.
Oh, that's
using horses, cavalier swords. Come on.
I am scared of why they would call you that name.
Well, it's because rifling wasn't invented yet. That's a whole thing.
Well, I know. I know. I don't know why someone else would go out of their way to call you that.
Gotta check out the bonus episode.
Oh, God.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so yeah, you can find the hysterical Ben on Lost Legends Tales of Thern, where he's the DM, and also he'll be next week being our guest DM. And you also have a blog.
Indeed. Yeah, my blog is called Beardy the Dungeon Master at WordPress.com or BeardyTheDungeonMaster.wordpress.com. And yeah, I mean, I put like dad jokes, stories from teaching, stories from college. I've got a couple recipes. It's kind of just a mixed bag as far as like what I kind of feel like writing about. I've also done some like a number of GM tips where it's like how to make an open world, listening to your players, just like a whole bunch of stuff. I try to keep it pretty diverse, you know, as far as the things that are written about.
It's an eclectic mix of awesome stuff to read.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're also working on a book.
I am. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't decided on a title yet, but it's a collection of short horror stories. So currently I'm getting feedback on, this was a project I did back in November for National Novel Writer Month, NaNoWriMo. And yeah, currently I'm getting feedback from a couple of beta readers to, you know, revise and edit and stuff, try and get the short stories like really good. I'm trying to write a couple of them as well, kind of just to pad the numbers a bit and get my word count up a little bit higher. Right now I'm at like 70,000 words. Which, you know, is like middling length for a novel, I feel like. But
that's way more than I write.
That's fun. You know, I'm a huge horror fan. Like anything horror paranormal related, I'm like 100% down for. And this has been just kind of a, I don't know, even if I don't like strike it rich or become the next Stephen King or anything, it's still been like a fun exercise to come up with different plots and situations and characters and stuff. I don't know. Once again, kind of like that same skill of like investing people in your characters that you use in Dungeons and Dragons and in teaching and stuff. I feel like it's kind of the same skill being used. I've got a couple book ideas. This is my first one, you know, and then this November I'm going to write a different one or work on a different one. Yeah, not to, you know, long story longer, but yeah, that's what I'm working on. Writing is cool. It's fun. I feel like not enough people write for enjoyment. Like a lot of people read for enjoyment, but not a lot of people write for enjoyment.
And then speaking of world building, et cetera, and being a history teacher, we will be re-releasing the interview that I did with Ben in between episodes. That was on Pot of Holding, which we now shut down. So we're going to bring that over here under our Get Geeky with Kiki segment. So you'll get to hear more from Ben about world building and history, et cetera, next week too.
Heck yeah. If I remember right, that was creating an open world campaign in 5 easy steps.
Yes. Yes.
Which you can get a little bit more detailed kind of explanation there on the blog here, actually, from October of 2 years ago. 2019 was when I wrote about that. But yeah, it definitely takes a lot of the guesswork out of creating your open world game. A lot of people like to do that kind of stuff, like in D&D, because it's like, you know, it's less like railroady and more like, where do you want to go? And you've got like a slew of things ready.
That is going to wrap it up for this episode. Stay spooky and don't die. But if you do, contact us.
From beyond the grave?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see. I had to think for a sec. I was like, wait a minute. No, that is on theme. Okay.
But how will I ever do that, JC?
Oh, what are those things called, like, where you hide a thing in a book?
So aren't we letting our guest come up with the way to
do
it?
Yeah, shut up, JC. How are we going to contact each other?
I hate you,
once
JC.
One of us dies, huh?
You're on the spot now, Ben. Logan did it. Come on.
How? How will we be contacted?
Well, what we could do is get a Ouija board, and then we cross out half the letters and make it really difficult. It's like the ghost really has to think about it. Like, if you cross out the E, they can only contact us using, like, four vowels. That would be quite a challenge.
That's funny.
I'm literally picturing someone taking a Ouija board and going, all right, hard mode, and breaking it in half over their knee. Going, how will you talk to us now? There's no on this side, only yes.
You think I'm cute?
Life's so cold.